living a life that pleases God. I think if there's anything I am confident of is that 99.99% of all true believers have this one great desire in their heart and life, and that is they want to please the Father. Can I hear a holy grunt? Isn't that true? Maybe we stumble over our own feet sometimes. Maybe we're not sure how to go about doing it and all that. But there's one thing about it. There is that desire that's on the inside of each and every one of us who are a child of God. And even if you're not a child of God, you can still have that desire. Because many times we're looking at for other things in life to fulfill that void and that relationship that should be ours, and it should be fulfilled as we walk in fellowship and we walk in a manner that pleases the Father and we sense His pleasure in our life. And you know what? Let me just say this. The pleasure of God in your life is enough. You don't have to be the doer of great deeds, the builder of great buildings, the creator of great empires and all. Nothing wrong with all that. Whatever God's called you to do, we believe in that. We talk about that. But I want to tell you, bottom line is this. If you have the pleasure of the Father, listen, you're a success. You're a success. Amen. You're a success. Because the bottom line is, when I stand before Him, He's going to say, well done. And you know what? I can know right now I'm on the path to hearing, well done. Because if I live a life that's pleasing to the Father, guess what I'm going to hear? There you go. That's not deep, but it's good, isn't it? Hallelujah. Turn to Colossians 1. Begin reading in verse 9. Paul is speaking here to the church at Colossae. He says, "For this reason, since the day we have heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way." Now, doesn't your heart just ring in embracing that which Paul is praying here? I can't think of a higher ambition. I can't think of a higher aspiration that you and I could have than for this truth that Paul just prayed to be a reality in my life and in your life. That my life, at the end of my day, I can say, I lived a life that was worthy of the Lord. I sense the pleasure of God. See, a lot of Christians, all they ever sense is condemnation. All they ever sense is guilt. All they ever sense is this thing of, I'm coming up short all the time. I'm always missing the mark. I'm not quite there. I'm hoping to get there. But listen, Paul prayed this prayer. He said that if he prayed this, if the Holy Spirit had him pray it, it must be possible to do it. Now, I want to tell you something. If you look at yourself, this is an impossibility. Come on. You know what I mean by that? You look at your flesh. You look at your natural self. You look at who you are. This is why I'm saying we got to get a hold of this thing. It's finished. It's finished. So with this in mind, the first thing, if we're going to live this life that is worthy of the Lord and be pleasing to Him, the first thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to settle it. Find out, settle it, who we are in Christ Jesus. Because any other way you look at yourself, you are going to be, pardon my expression, ugly. But in Him, you are beautiful. Isn't that right? He says He will beautify the meek with salvation. Hallelujah. You're beautified in Him. But see, what does the enemy always want to try, and religious people, they want you always to look at who you are outside of Him. Look at your flesh. Look at your weakness. Look at this. Look at that. Look at this. And it wants to get you under some kind of legalism. Well, you just grit your teeth and try a little harder there, bud. Well, I want to tell you what. I believe we ought to give God our all, but we give God our all from my position of being in Christ. See, I don't try to please Him by, I can do everything by myself, and if I do enough, He's going to be pleased with me. No, I'm going to tell you where God's pleasure starts is finding yourself in Christ Jesus. What do we mean by that? That means my faith is in Him. My faith is in His finished work. My faith is in His grace. My faith is in His power. My faith is in the working of His Spirit in me. My faith is in the power of His blood. I believe more in Him than I do in myself. I believe that greater is grace and the power of sin. That pleases the Father. So the first starting place is I got to know something. I got to know as a believer who I am in Christ. Now I know for some of you this is so basic. But you know what? You might need a refresher. Amen? Because how many of you know sometimes we know things, but sometimes we can let them slip and not live in them? Isn't that true? As Paul said, he said, it does not bother me to remind you of these things again. If you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know what? You read what Jesus taught over and over again. Same truths. You say, what does God think? We're dumb? I don't know. I can't answer that. Talk to Him. 2 Corinthians 5. See, you thought I was going to bail you out, but see, I left you there, didn't I? Listen, he says in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, you can't be in and out. You're either in or you're out. If anyone is in Christ, he, she, they, he is a new creation. Does anybody know? It doesn't matter what you're looking at, whether it's a car, a house, a suit of clothes, a pair of shoes. Do you know, can you tell when something's new? New. Smells different, looks different. It's new, isn't that right? We're talking about living a life that's worthy and pleases the Father. Well, the only way you can do that, this is ground zero. This is where you've got to start. This is the plumb line. You've got to start right here because outside of Christ, you can't please Him. Because the only thing left outside of Christ, what, is your own works. And the Bible says dead works are just that. They're what? They're dead. They stink. They're lifeless. They're powerless. They're supposed to be remaining in the tomb where Jesus was buried. He was raised up to newness of life, and so were you. So anybody in here in Christ? Well, then here he is. You're a new creation. I said, you're a new creation. You're a new creation. Yeah, but I don't feel like... Well, this is the victory that overcomes the world, what? Even our faith. See, your problem is you got more faith in the devil than God. More faith in the power of sin than the power of grace. The Bible says that sin shall no longer have dominion over us because we're no longer what? Under the law, but we are under what? Grace. Hallelujah. It is. You're a new creation. Notice, the old has gone. The new has come. Say this with me. The old has gone.
The old has gone.
Now you got to believe that. The old has gone. Romans 6, he said it this way. He said that old man was what? Was crucified and buried with him. The old is dead. See, we've been raised up into newness of life, not into oldness of life. Come on. You know, one day when Jesus returns, the Bible teaches when He returns, says that the dead in Christ will rise first. Isn't that right? All those that have been, in the tombs and buried at sea or whatever happened to them, He said they're going to be raised up first. You know what? They're not going to be raised up with that old body.
That's right.
If they had their body died because of cancer, they're not going to be raised up full of cancer. Come on. If they died blind, they're not going to be raised up with blind eyes. They're going to be raised up with what? A newness of life, a new body. Well, the Bible says right now, he says, the old has gone, the new has come. Oh, hallelujah. You need to be reminding the devil and yourself every day. Listen, the old has gone, the new has come. I'm in Christ. It's the only way I can please God. It's the only way I can please God. Because number one, it's the only way I can be made in right standing with God. And number two, it pleases God for me to abandon myself completely, totally over on His grace. It's like you're up in the airplane without a parachute. God says, jump, and you just go. God will either get a parachute to you or grow wings on the way down. Whatever the case. But the point is what? It's sufficient. Jesus is sufficient. The new has come. Say that. The new has come. It's not going to come when you get to heaven. Has is past tense, isn't it? It has come. Now, you don't have a new body yet, but the real you on the inside, the spirit man, it's brand new. Hallelujah. We're talking about living in a manner that pleases God. The first thing is that we've got to what? We've got to know who we are in Christ Jesus. Old is past. The new has come. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what it smells like. I don't care about any of that. All I care about is what God said. Amen? That's where I start. That's where I start. Hallelujah. I haven't been to heaven yet, but I believe it's there. Amen. Isn't that right? All this is from God. All this. None of it's from you. None of it's from you. You don't have to help. Remember that word? A.K.A. help. You don't have to help God. You don't have to help God. Jesus said, it is, that was a weak finish. It is
finished.
What if something's finished, is there anything left to do? All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us that ministry of reconciliation. Now look down in verse 21 for a second time real quick. God made Him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. That in Him, see, this is why we got to know who we are, we might become or made the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
Woo!
Wow.
The only way you're going to grab a hold of that is by faith. Did you know that you have been made, if you're a believer, the righteousness of God? Do you know there's no higher righteousness than God's? You're not going to out-holy God. Some people, you know, get all religious and try to act so like they're going to out-holy Jesus. It's not going to happen. Should we be holy? Yes. But you know what? Holiness works from what? Being in Christ. Once I recognize that finished work, and I believe in it, and I allow that life that's in me on the inside to begin to rise up and dominate me and to begin to express itself, then I want to tell you what, holiness and purity and all that will follow it. But it won't be a sham game. It won't be a religious con game. It will be the life of Jesus flowing out. So no matter how much it expresses itself through me, I will always maintain my humility because I know it's Him, not me. Because I'm in Him. Amen. We're made righteous. We're joined. The Bible says that he that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. Chew on that a while. If you're a believer, you're joined to the Lord. He says you're what? You're one spirit with Him. See, we're talking about the beginning place if we're going to walk and live our life in a manner that's what? Worthy of the Lord. That pleases the Lord. That is this, Lord. All that you did for me in Christ Jesus, I embrace. I believe. I am trusting in that and nothing else. Come on. As we used to say, sink or swim, I'm all in. I'm all in. It's all in, Lord. It's all in. Amen? That's the starting place. I live my life that way. What did Paul say? He said, the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He says, no longer I, but it's Christ in me. What did Jesus say? He said, I'm not doing the works. He said, it's the Father in me doing the works. He went on to pray in John 17. He said, I pray, Father, that just as I am in you and you are in me, that they will be one in us. Hallelujah. So the starting place, if we're going to live a life that's worthy of the Lord, we got to know who we are in Christ. Now, I don't have time to get it. We just give you a little jump start. But I would encourage you, you know, go through the Scriptures. Look for the Scriptures. You know the Scriptures. In Christ, in Him, in whom. Look for those Scriptures. That's telling you who you are. Listen, let God define you and not yourself. Whenever you're feeling like you're a bum and you're no good and you're a failure or you're this or you're that, listen, appeal to the highest court. This is the supreme court in all matters concerning life and faith. So I just appeal to a higher court. See, the devil, he's an accuser. Isn't that right? He's an accuser. He's going to accuse you. He's going to accuse you. But listen, that's when you call on your advocate, Jesus, and your Father, who is the supreme court, Justice, Chief Justice, the only one. Hallelujah. He comes to quick conclusions. Forgiven. Forgiven. In Christ. Forgiven. Healed. Delivered. Provided for. You know why He can do that? It's already finished. The price is paid. Hallelujah. Stop sending in your payments. Come on. You know those guilt payments you try to pay off? Guilt payments. I'm going to beat myself up for a day or two here for some interest on it. Y'all laughing like you know what I'm talking about. Lord. No, He says, in Christ. You say, well, what if I miss it? Well, you know what He says. If you miss it, confess it. Don't deny it. You say, God, I missed it. I sinned. I failed. I missed it. He said, if you'll do that, he said, you know what? He said, I'll forgive you. He'll forgive you and cleanse you. You get up and go on. I mean, wouldn't that be the dumbest thing in the world if you saw somebody walking along and accidentally, you know, slip and fell in a big puddle of water and they just laid there? Well, y'all pray for me that I'll get out of this puddle. Oh, y'all go call up Brother so-and-so and tell him, come over here and pray for me that I'll get up out of this puddle. I don't deserve to be out of this puddle. I'm going to lay here all night. Come on. we do that, though, don't we? See, we're all laughing. That's why, even though we all know this, see, we still, there's room for us to, in our believing, to grow in this fact that, what, we are in Christ. That's where my life is. He goes on in chapter 3 in Colossians. He said, our life is hid with Christ in God. He said, therefore, seek those things, look at those things, think on those things, live out of those things which are above the supernatural. You know what? Super just means greater than, above. Supernatural just means what? Above the natural. Stop living according to the natural. God's called you to live the supernatural life in Christ. Second thing is to know what you have in Christ. Now I'm going to read some scriptures here. Like I say, I know this is real basic, but it'll be good for us to be reminded. Because listen, this is where the victory's at. Are you listening? This is where the victory's at. Because I want to live a life that is worthy of what Jesus suffered and paid the price for. I want to be pleasing to the Father. So when I live in Christ, I live my life by faith in Christ Jesus. That is bringing glory and pleasure to the Father. Because the Father planned it, Jesus did the work, and now the Holy Spirit is the executor. He's here to enforce it. He's here to make it good in your life. If you'll dare to believe it, the Holy Spirit will make it a reality to you. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't anoint flesh. You know what I mean by that? He doesn't anoint that junk. Colossians 1, did I tell you that? 13, go back there. Some things we have in Christ. Now, I'm just, skipping the rock across the pond. You understand that? For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Notice that. He says He's rescued us. In other words, we can say it this way. He has given us authority over the dominion of darkness. Demonic powers and works associated with the dominion of darkness, we have been given authority over in Christ. Now, here's the thing. You need to know what the devil does and what God does. Hello? Don't get confused. Don't confuse the two. A lot of Christians are confused. I have a name for them. I call them concrete Christians. They're thoroughly mixed up and well set. They're not going to change for nothing. Bless their heart. Amen. But see, we need to know exactly. Okay? What is it that the devil does? What is it that God does? So that when I see things happening in my life, I can have discernment about which dominion is interacting in my life and therefore know how to respond. That pleases the Father. Jesus said, among many of His statements, He said, speaking of Jesus, I'm paraphrasing, quoting Jesus, I always do those things that please the Father. Isn't that what He said? Words to that effect. Well, He cast out devils. He healed the sick, didn't He? He did those things. So what was that? That was when what? Whenever He intersected with sickness, He came across sickness or disease in any form, He took authority over it. You know why? Because that stuff was of a dominion of darkness. He was of the dominion of light. And so if those actions that He took pleased the Father, then if you and I take those same actions, it's going to please the Father as well. So you need to know that. So every time you stand up to the devil, every time you stand up to the works of darkness, whatever manifestation or form they may take, when we stand up against that in the name of Jesus and in the power of His kingdom authority, then you know what? We're pleasing the Father. Oh, that pleases the Father. He sees you up. Bless God. Look at that. Look at my girl. Go get him. Get that devil. That's the way to do it. Come on. Look at my boy. Look at him there. Man, he's believing it's finished. He's believing my word. He's believing in the power of my spirit. Boy. I don't know if he had suspenders, but if he did, I bet he'd. Come on. But listen. See, too often of the time, see, we don't know what we've been given in Christ, and so we just cower down. We cower down. That doesn't please God. Now listen, let me distinguish this. Listen, God loves you even if you don't please Him. But He wants you to please Him. Any parents in here? With children? You love those children? Sure you do. Do anything you can for them. Isn't that right? Do they always please you? That sounded pretty unanimous. See, that's the same thing I'm talking about. See, you don't stop loving them because they don't please you, but that does grieve your heart, doesn't it? Same thing with Papa, Father God. He doesn't stop loving us. He doesn't stop caring about us. But listen, He wants. Listen, we should want to please Him. That's love, isn't it? We love Him because He first loved us. So, but we need to know some things about that. Luke 10:19. You don't have to turn over there. Jesus said, "I give you authority over all the power of the devil." Now, if we believe that, and we're going to stand up against the works of darkness, you know what that's going to do? That's going to be walking a life that is what? Worthy of what Jesus did for us at Calvary. Amen. Anything less, okay, belittles that work. Come on. It's like saying, okay, Jesus, it wasn't quite enough. This is why the Bible says that He's no respecter of persons. Because all that He did in salvation, in redemption, in making available, is to whosoever will. So that means that whosoever believes on Him, whosoever is in Christ, He's a new creature, old things are gone, He's in right standing with God, and now you need to know one of the things you have is authority over the works of darkness. That means that the devil can't rule in your life. He can't rule in your situation. Amen. I didn't say He wouldn't try to. Jesus said He's a thief, He's a robber. Well, last time I looked, a thief's to qualify to be a thief, he's got to have his hands on something that don't belong to him. Isn't that right? So as soon as he says he's a thief, guess what? That means he's going to go around putting his hands on things that don't belong to him. So what you need to do, as soon as he starts putting his hand on some of those things of yours that don't belong to him, you need to stand up and let him have it. Come on. Stand up. Don't be a milky, toasty Christian, you little passive. Well, we just like Jesus, you know. Come on. Jesus was a man. He was a full-grown man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
He knew who he was.
Yeah.
He knew who God was in him. You need to know who God is in you. He's big. He's mighty.
Amen.
And listen, if we're going to please God, we need to walk in that authority.
Amen.
Amen? Listen, like I said, I'm just skipping the rock. But one other thing that you need to know is that you possess all of the promises. All of the promises. Let me read it to you, even though you may know it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to this. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are...
Yes and amen.
Sometimes yes and sometimes no. I heard a preacher say that on radio program. I did. He said sometimes God will say yes and sometimes God will say no. Well, first thing is, if God does say no, you must have been way out in left field somewhere when you started asking. That's your first mistake. You need to go back and find out what the promise, because he said all the promises are yes. So if you get out beyond the promises, yeah, I'm sure you'll get a no. He hadn't promised you the moon, so I guess if you prayed for Saturn or Pluto or something, that'd be a no. Come on. But if you want healing in your body, it's yes. If you need provision for your life, it's yes. If you need salvation for your kids, it's yes. Go right on down the line. It's yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I like that, don't you? So what I'm saying is, in Christ, what we're the possessor of promises. Boy, you're talking about having the deck stacked in your favor. You got dealt all the aces. And if there are any wild cards, you got them too. Man, you got it. All the promises. All the promises. Listen, for every attack of the devil, of the enemy, there is a promise to overcome it. Come on. Every attack of the enemy, there's a promise to overcome it. But you know, what happens is, if we don't know that, the enemy attacks, life happens, and we want to sit down and have a pity party. Oh, God said Jesus. Send an angel. No, you know what you need to find out? What does the promise say? What does the promise say? The Bible, one of the promises, no weapon formed against you will prosper. I don't care what weapon he's bringing against you. Bless God, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. We got foolproof, fail-safe weapons and armor. Amen. He can launch the strongest, big. Let him launch the biggest missile he's got. It ain't going to work. I said it's not going to work. Doesn't matter what he said. Listen, most of the time, he's just a bunch of hot air anyway. You know, if you'll be discerning, you'll find this out. The devil will bluff and bluster about 85% of the time, and about 15% of the time, it will be a real attack. Sure. He can get most Christians backed up in the corner just by threatening, blustering, posturing. You know, I've said this before when I went to school, you know. Of course, you hear a lot about it now, but, you know, there's nothing new about it, about the bully. People getting bullied. You know. The best way to stop a bully is stand up to him. Yeah. Somebody stand up to him. That devil comes around and starts threatening you. And says, you know, your kids are, you know, they're not going to serve God, and you're going under, and you're going to lose your house and your car and your job, and blah, 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 blah. Just say, shut up. Jesus said, you're a liar, devil. You're lying. You can't do all this. The Bible says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Amen. Neither you're lying or God is. Guess who? The devil's lying. So for every attack, there's a promise. So if I'm going to please God, what? God wants me to walk in the promises. Why would he give them to me? My mom gone on to be with the Lord some years now, but you know, she lived through the Great Depression. Some of you might have. Anybody in here old enough to live through the Great Depression? No, my mom's a bit older. That's all right. You say, I think we're living through it now. But my mom, see, because she went through that, you know, she went through that era, you know, things were difficult. Things were tough. Things were hard, you know. And she came through that era. So, you know, us kids, when we got older, we got grown, you know, we'd give, you know, we'd just buy stuff for our mom because we loved her, you know. And she had it tough growing up. And we just decided, well, you know, we're gonna make up for it, you know, as much as we can. So, but, you know, she had that mentality so big, she wouldn't use anything. I remember, you know, after she, you know, went on to be with the Lord, and we had the funeral, and, you know, you go over there and clear the house out. You guys lost parents. You know what I'm talking about. So we're over, and we're going through all this stuff, and clothes we get, it's still in the box. Never used, never, you know, because she's always, you know, going to save it in case. You know? And you know, and I don't say that to put my mom down by any means, but I just want to make a point. See, God doesn't want you don't have to save it in case. God's got plenty. Go ahead and wear it. Go ahead and use it. Go ahead and take the promise. Go ahead and stand up to the devil. Go ahead and honor God and honor what he has done through Calvary. You're the possessor of the promises. All right, thirdly, real quickly. We're talking about living a life that pleases God, a life that's worthy of God. We said know who you are, know what you have, and then thirdly, know your calling. Romans 12. Turn over there a minute. Romans 12:2, he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and approve what is God's will is, that good, permissive, and perfect will. Some says pleasing and perfect will. But what I want you to see there is a good will, there is a permissive will, and then there is God's perfect will. And God wants you and I to discover what is our purpose. Now, we know the underlying purpose is what we're talking about right now, that I live a life worthy of the Lord and that's pleasing Him. But in the context of that, God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Amen? Not everybody's called to go to Africa. Not everybody's called to do a lot. You know, but everybody has something. And that has to do with the will of God. And it's up to you and I to discover that. That pleases the Father. You know why? Why? Because we're saying, you know what, God, Lord, Father, this life you've given me, as wonderful as it is, you know what? It's for you. It's not for me. It's for you. And I want to know how I can take all this you have given me, this new life you've given me, how I can take that and honor you. How can I do that? One of the ways is I find out what His will is. Because if I want to honor God and please God with this new life He's given me, you know what? It's going to motivate me to do some things to discover what that will is. One of the things we're going to have to do is we're going to have to learn how to pray. You say, how do you learn how to pray? Well, one good way to learn how to pray is get around others who know how to pray. Isn't that right? Just get around people that know how to pray. You say, I'm not sure if I know how to pray. Well, find out. Ask around. Find out if there's some people that know how to pray. And then go find them and say, hey, can I come and just get around you and watch you, see how you pray? How do you pray? How do you pray? I want to see how you pray. How do you do this thing? Amen? And then you get around them, watch them for a while. And then you just start kind of praying like they pray. And the next thing you know, the Holy Spirit will begin to teach you. And the next thing you know, you'll be praying just like they pray. You know what I mean? You'll learn how to pray. But listen, you will not discern and discover God's will unless you learn to pray. I can just tell you that. You don't accidentally fall into the perfect will of God. No, it's on purpose. You have to, on purpose, obey the prompting, the direction, the leading of the Spirit. And so you've got to learn to hear the voice of God. That's what we call prayer. Prayer is not just shouting to God. There's a time when we do pray out loud. But also, the other side of prayer is listening. This is a side we don't emphasize enough, I think, at least here in America. We know how to ask for what we want, don't we? Most of us Americans, we don't mind pushing up to the lunch counter, to the smorgasbord. We're pretty good at that in our culture. We're taught to do that. But here's the thing, we need to also learn there's a listening part to prayer. That's where I get still enough and quiet enough, long enough. You say, yeah, I knew that. What's the long enough? Until God speaks. Until He speaks. What is it that you're wanting to hear? I want to hear God speak. Well, have you ever taken long enough? Given Him long enough time to speak to you? Well, I waited 15 or 20 minutes. Well, what if His timetable was an hour? Amen? Isn't that right? That'd be like me starting out for a trip. I want to go to New York City. But I get up to about Charlotte or Raleigh, and I just decide, you know what? Man, this is taking too long. I'm going back. Well, I didn't want to go to New York. Isn't that right? Because if I'd wanted to go to New York, I stay to win till I get to New York. If I made 6 wrong turns, you know what? If I wanted to get to New York, you know what I'd do? I'd get back on the right road and keep on till I got to New York. Isn't it amazing we'll do that? But when it comes to prayer and listening to God, we think, well, I listened 15 minutes and I didn't hear nothing, so that's it. The most important person you could ever hear from, and that's all the effort you're going to give it. That's it. Oh, my goodness. What if the White House called you up and said, you know, President Obama's on a tour and your house has been selected. He's going to come by at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday or whatever, and he's going to have coffee and dessert with you. You have coffee and dessert ready. So at 7:10, you just start, he's not there yet, you just start packing everything up and put on your pajamas. No. Come on. That's the president, man. You know what? You're going to be there 7:15, 7:25, 8:45. You may have some questions, but boy, you're going to be there with it. You know, keep the coffee hot. I mean, isn't that right? Why? Because it's an honor. I said it's an honor. Yeah, I can tell y'all praying for your president. It's an honor. Yeah, but I just don't think. Well, that's you're fine with that, but the Bible says you're supposed to be praying for them. And you're supposed to respect those in authority. Oh, boy, I don't get off on that. But come on, church. Ooh. It's all good when I was talking about the promises, wasn't it? So here's the thing. Pursue it. Let me read you one last scripture here about God's permissive will. Listen, we want to live in a way that's what? Pleasing to God. Turn over in Philippians. You have to pursue God's will. God, in this aspect of his personality, is like a woman. Oh, buddy. Where's he going with this? He likes to be pursued. He that cometh to God. He didn't say those that God knocks off their horse. He said he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Those who hunger and thirst after God. Come on. God in his nature, his personality, he loves and desires to be pursued. You better get this down. See, a lot of Christians are passive and they wonder why there's not much interaction of God in their life on a personal basis in relationship. It's because he's waiting for you to pursue him. He said if you'll pursue, you'll be it'll be fine. Listen, you know, if you, all you married guys here, with that woman, you pursued her. And you know what? She let you pursue her, but the idea she had all the time was what? She's going to be caught. Come on. See, and with God, the idea, see, he wants you to pursue him, but he says, if you seek me, you're going to... Yeah. If you seek me, you're going to what? So... See, here's the thing. We need to understand this. You say, well, why is it that way? I don't know. When you catch God, ask him. Next time you're talking to God, ask him. Why ask me? Ask him. Go straight to the, you know, the source. But that's, I think it's about love, don't you? I think it's about love. Love. He wants to see your love. There's something about, you know, love motivates us, doesn't it? To pursue it. Whatever it is. It can be a person, a relationship, or it can be a thing. Isn't that right? Some people love their things. They pursued them to the point of, you know, up to debt. You know, in debt, that's another thing too. Come on. Philippians 3, real quickly. Got to close. Paul says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Holy cow. Is that really in there? Can we say that here in the American church? I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. Literally, that word there is dung. D-U-N-G. That's what it is, dung. Does everybody know what dung is? Okay, good. I don't have to explain it. I commend you. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ. Wait a minute, Paul. Jesus appeared to you in the way. You heard His voice. You were caught up into heaven. What do you mean you want to know Christ? See, and we think we've arrived because we speak in tongues or something. Well, we commend you for that. That's great. But listen, Paul, I mean, here's Paul seeing Jesus, had visions, caught up to the third heaven. He said, I haven't arrived yet. Well, we probably need to grow some too. He says, I want to know Christ, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, so that what? Somehow, to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Boy, you think you've got a high aspiration. Paul says, I'm shooting to walk in that same resurrection from the dead, that same power that Jesus walked when He was raised from the dead. You know, we think we'd be doing something if we just walked in that power when He walked, by the Sea of Galilee. Paul says, I done gone by that. I'm going for the resurrection power. Woo! Verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but, here's where I wanted to go, I press on. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward or upward in Christ Jesus. Here's Paul, wrote close to three quarters of the New Testament, caught up to the third heaven, visions of Jesus, mighty miracles through His hands in His life. And he says, I'm not there yet. But he says, here's what I'm doing. He says, I'm forgetting what is behind. Listen, you know, you hear this comment a lot. You know, I'm a football guy, so y'all excuse me, ladies. But, you know, they say this, especially, you know, in the NFL, but about the quarterbacks. He says, a quarterback in the NFL has to have a short memory. Now, here's why they say that, because if they miss a pass or throw an interception to the other team or make some mistake, they can't go back out the next time they have an opportunity with all that cluttering their thoughts. Otherwise, they'll probably, what? Repeat the same thing. And so here's what Paul is saying. He's saying you need to, believer, child of God, have a short memory. Forget those things behind. Forget it. It's all behind you anyway. Just forget it. And he said, what? Press on toward that what? That good, acceptable, and ultimately what? That perfect will. That's what we're after. We're talking about living a life that's pleasing to God. I believe all of us want that. I do, as believers. And so I want to remind you of these basics. As basic as these things are, we still have to do them. Not much more basic than what you did this morning. You got up. You had some breakfast. You took a shower. You got dressed. How basic is that? That's about as mundane as it can get, but we're all proud of you for doing it. Isn't that right? We're all glad we did the mundane stuff. And though this may seem that way, I'm glad you know this. But here's the thing. We must press on in doing it. Isn't that right? And if Paul could excel, he said, I haven't arrived yet, then we haven't either. And if you're doing this, then I commend you and I encourage you, keep on. And if for some reason you've kind of laid it down, we understand the busyness of life, things coming at you. You know, it's easy to do that. But here's the thing, I'd encourage you, pick it back up. And let us exhort one another and pray for one another okay, and encourage one another in this pursuit that we're going to live a life that's worthy and pleasing of the Lord. And if one of us falls down, we're not going to be there to kick somebody. We're going to be there to reach down with a hand. Because you know what? There could come a time when you're the one that needs the hand to reach down. Isn't that true? And all of us, we need one another in this. This is why God's called us together. Because we need one another. I need you. You need one another. We need each other to pursue this thing of pleasing the Lord. So here's what I want to do. I want you, if you will, would you just bow your heads just for a moment. I won't have a long altar call, but I like for us to seal what we've heard. Because remember, I said faith has corresponding action. And here's what I want us to do. I want right now, in the privacy of your own heart before God, if you have laid down, as basic as these things are, if you've laid these down, or if you, life's just gotten so busy that you've forgotten these basics, you've forgotten who you are in Christ, and you've been striving and trying to live in your own power, and you've been in guilt, and all of that stuff has been beating you down. Listen, this morning, I want you to do what Paul said. I want you to let that stuff go behind you this morning. I want you to lay that stuff down. Let it be covered by faith in the blood of Jesus. Whatever you may have done, let it come under that blood. Let it come under that covering. And now, here's the thing. Don't look at it anymore. Don't consider it anymore. You confess it. Jesus forgives you. It's under the blood. Now, we're going to move forward. We're going to pursue God. We're going to pursue Him in prayer. We're going to pursue Him in worship. We're going to pursue Him with the Word of God. We're going to pursue Him. And we are going to take up all the promises. We're going to take up all the authority. We're going to take up all the things that have been provided for us. And we are going to stand against every work of darkness. We're no longer going to be a passive Christian. We're no longer going to. I want you in your own heart, if you are willing, you make that commitment to God right now. If you need to. If you need to. Father, I pray right now over everyone who's making this decision right now. Lord, they're making this decision. They're going to stand up again. They're going to stand up and walk in a manner that's pleasing to you. God, they're going to live their life in the light of it's finished. It is finished. They are in Christ. They are more than conquerors. Father, I thank you. You've called them to be that. You've made them that. You've made them righteous. They don't have to make themselves that. Father, I thank you. Today is going to be a new start for many in this room. And now finally, if you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never believed on Jesus as the Son of God, as sent down from heaven, who went to a place called Calvary, and on that cross, He suffered for you. He took your sins. He took your judgment. He took the punishment that was due you. He took it upon Himself. And now the Bible says, whoever will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon Him, they will be forgiven, saved, and made a child of God. If you're here this morning and you've never done that, I want to pray for you. Would you just lift your hand, just put it up, and then right back down so I can see it, and I want to pray for you. Anybody in the room? I'm not going to take long. Anybody in the room? God's dealing with you. Get your heart right. You say, Pastor, I don't know. If I were to die today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. I want to be sure. I want to be sure. I want to pray for you as well. Anyone here, you lift your hand. Looking, looking, looking. I don't see any hands. I don't see any hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you that now we are in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new in you. Father, help us to walk in that newness of life, to walk in your righteousness, to walk in your peace, to walk in your victory over sin. Thank you, Lord, that we will take up that dominion. We will confront the works of darkness, O God. We will not be passive. Father, we will pursue you with all of our heart, that we may know and discover not only that good and acceptable will, but the perfect will of God. It is our pursuit. And Lord, as Paul prayed, I pray this last prayer. I pray that you would fill everyone in this room with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding concerning your call, your purpose, your plan for their life, that they may live and walk out this life that is pleasing to you. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Living a life that's pleasing to God. This is what we want to do. And I promise you, if you'll take just these basic things today that I've taken, take them, take your Bible, get with God, begin to apply those things, ask the Holy Spirit to show you. As I said today, I just kind of skipped the rock over the pond real quick on these things, but you get in your Bible and you begin to dig out, you get into the prayer your prayer closet, you listen to the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to tell you what, you're going to enter in. Yeah, I mean, you're almost going to think, hey, I just got saved, even though you were saved, because there's so much more of the richness of His grace.